Thank you and good afternoon. The previous two speakers today talked about developing standards at the Washington, D.C. level and also research information. My presentation will talk about down in the field, hands-on, one-on-one patient care. I have no relations to disclose. I wanted to share with you how we promote cultural competency, how we give good quality care, and promote prevention and wellness among minority Asian patients. One of the models we're using is the Health Navigator model. We'll discuss that and some of the challenges in implementing that model. First of all, at the 5,000 foot level, community health centers, who are we? The four key points that distinguish community health centers from other types of clinics. We're a private nonprofit organization. We are located in medically underserved population areas. We provide comprehensive primary care, and our community board of directors is 51% mandated to be made up of patients and local community. That is to ensure that we will be responsive to the needs of the community and our patients. Nationwide, community health centers serve over 20 million people. They are generally the poor, the underserved, uninsured, and sometimes very little political clout. And now at the 1,000 foot level, Asian Health Services is where I work. You can see since 1974, we have had tremendous growth because of the demand and the need. And today we serve over 23,000 patients. In this slide about linguistic isolation, just shows 90% of our patients are linguistically isolated in a sense that they don't speak English at home, and they rate it themselves as they don't know English very well or cannot speak English very well. And in alignment with national data, 38% of our patients are uninsured. These are examples of our general membership meeting. Here, this is like a United Nations. We have everybody's using headsets and getting simultaneous interpretation of what's going on with the meeting. This is the Vietnamese Patient Leadership Council. They meet and speak Vietnamese and talk about how they can help their local communities. Over here, they were protesting for healthcare reform. There are numerous posters made in many different Asian languages. And at the state capitol on Immigration Day. This is an example of the best of self-advocacy among our Asian patients. So at the ground level, which is our clinic where we work, we serve over 5,000 patients, and this is the language breakdown of the patients that we see. Lots and lots of different languages. And here, Karen language is a language in Burma and a population of Karen people in Burma. And it wasn't until 1960s that the written language for Karen was actually developed. So if you're very old or you don't have an opportunity to go to school, many of our patients come who do not read or write. So even if we provide instructions in that language, they cannot understand. This looks like a teething ring, but it from check-in on the left to around the circle, it shows generally the basic flow of our patients, how we care for them. But wrapped around the whole teething ring is also the fact that we need to provide language concordant services. And this interpretation, the interpretation that's needed not only is for the medical sessions, but also for caseworker, for dietary counseling, and also maybe behavioral health, that we need to provide the language concordant service. So here's an example where a patient from China doesn't understand the visit between a PCP and an ER. Those are completely separate systems in the US. So this is one Chinese patient, and we have at least nine other ethnic and culturally different countries and with systems that people come from. So the barriers to accessing care are numerous. For example, in health literacy, as I discussed, the patient coming to us may not even be literate or cannot read and write in his own language, let alone English, and let alone understanding health literacy. So, and then on top of that, a patchwork insurance, the system factors down here. My mouse doesn't like to move a lot. At least in our country, patchwork insurance, very, very difficult to navigate. You can start as a health pack patient in Alameda County, but if you need reproductive care, you go under Family Pact. And if you become pregnant as a mommy, then you go under Medi-Cal. And if you get a mammogram for breast cancer screening, you go under CDP, Cancer Detection Program. So it's overwhelming even for native speakers or English speakers. I can imagine how difficult it would be for non-English speakers. So the question we have with all these barriers and all the diversity of patients that we have, how do we provide quality care and good access and promote prevention and wellness? So at our clinic at Asian Health Services, we are using the Health Navigator model. Basically, it's a multifunctional model. They are a medical assistant. They generally graduate from medical assistant school. They provide interpretation, and we also provide them with medical interpretation. So just because you learn how to speak Cambodian at home, it doesn't mean you can understand the terms for abortion, miscarriage, et cetera. And in this case, as I said before, they not only are interpreting just the medical aspects, but there's behavioral health, case management, nutrition counseling. They're also health coaches. So, for example, during pre-visit, before the visit with the doctor, they can speak with the patient and also collect the list of medications that they're currently taking, how much, et cetera. And then after the doctor visit, there may be labs, referrals, and imaging that's required, so we need to explain that to the patient. And then referrals down here in the yellow box is, as I spoke with you, as I mentioned, very, very complex network to navigate. As with this insurance, you need to use LabQuest. With another insurance, you have to use LabCorp. And so it's a big challenge. To me, I feel like you need a degree just to navigate the insurance systems. And on top of that, the health navigator also plays a role as an advocate for the patient and the community. One of the fortunate things we were able to find is health navigators who are actually from the country that they came from, or they have been through some of the, brutalities, atrocities, and trauma that our patients have been through, such as the refugees, and then war, and living in the jungle, being imprisoned, or father was helping the Americans during the Vietnam War, and then he was later jailed, and then the family eventually migrated here, and the children is one of our employees at our clinic. So, again, the health navigator has multiple roles, providing technical expertise and health coaching, and then all the enabling services. Again, the majority of the stuff we do for our patients on this slide are not covered and not billable. Here's a Burmese patient who doesn't understand what a prescription is, how you have to go to a different place to get your prescription. You have to show a different form, a card, so that you can get your prescription, and you may or may not have to pay some money to get that prescription. We have patients who come to our clinic, they get in our elevator, and they literally don't know what to do with the buttons on the panel in the elevator, or we give them these medicine boxes, the pill boxes that are labeled SMT, like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but if they don't read the alphabet, they would not know today is the fourth day of the week and I need to take Thursday's medicines. Here's a Cambodian patient. He could not call, did not know how to get ambulance help, but he knew one place where he could go, which is call our clinic, and he knew our staff there, and our staff helped them call 911, and also our staff ended up showing up to help interpret so he could explain his problem at the ER. On the community advocacy level, we just recently, last month, had a joint Walgreens and clinic health fair. And this is a private for-profit and a nonprofit partnership. But our staff, as you can see, had signs hanging up showing what language they speak so that they can enable and help them benefit and take advantage of that health fair. And I know it's difficult to see, but we have Burmese, Tagalog, Korean, Chinese, Cambodian, Vietnamese, all lined up here. These are all our staff. So these enabling services we view are very important for the patient. It's not just the 15-minute medical visit that they come to our clinic for, right? Their language, the transportation, the schools, the jobs, the money, the food that they get or don't get. So we believe enabling services are very important. You see a picture of some of our staff who actually went to a Korean shopping plaza, and they're standing right in front of the Korean grocery store giving out flu vaccines and also literature that was translated by Jing Young in our audience into Korean about diabetes and hypertension so that we could hand them out and give them some more information. Another one, not only language barriers, but culturally, what they believe is right in help taking care of their child and their babies. So there's definitely the challenges. Over here is the Prevent Blindness project, where we partnered with Prevent Blindness of California, Northern California. And they came also with four language capabilities and staff, and our staff also helped. But this is for our patients who are 65 or older, or who have diabetes and or hypertension, who need ophthalmology referral. And typically, Highland Hospital in Alameda County is always overstretched, and an appointment could take up to 18 months for them to get. So here in Prevent Blindness, we were hoping to be able to short-circuit that timeline, give them some eye exams and some fundus, took some fundus pictures, and then when they needed referrals, we would connect the patient with a doctor who was willing to give his or her services for free, and we connect, match them up by zip code so that they could go find the doctor and the care, so we don't delay. So the challenges of the health navigator model, and as a manager that I have been confronted with in the past year or so, is that sometimes it's very difficult to even hire qualified candidates who can speak English and can speak their native language and has some medical assisting or healthcare skills. lack of enabling services and lack of reimbursements. So we are partnering with APCHO, Asian Pacific, another organization, so that we can do some research and provide more evidence to justify why enabling services are very key to a patient's health. Another trick is multifunctionality, to make sure that even though the health navigators can do lots of tasks and highly functioning, we're not trying to make them do four tasks all at once, which can cause errors, and then patient safety would become an issue. And so managing and balancing that to make sure they're not overloaded. And sometimes when we talked about sending people for medical interpretation training, but if we don't have any instructors, then they can't go to the training. So our staff, we have 9 health navigators, all of different cultures from different backgrounds. How do I ensure that they are also a high-performing team? and to keep the clinic flowing, the doctors happy, and provide good care for our patients. That, to me, is my personal challenge. There are some pros and cons also with the Health Navigator model. They all love their jobs because there's lots of variety and job satisfaction. But the learning curve is very steep, and it takes a lot longer to bring them up to speed to have them to have all those skills. Our staff, as you have seen, some of our patients, for example, may tell the doctor, yes, I'm taking these diabetic medicines, but later on they will tell our health navigator that, actually, I've stopped taking these medicines for a year now because I want to die soon because I have no point in living. So lots of important information comes out in that personal one-on-one relation with our health navigator. So they become involved with all aspects of the patient's needs and welfare. And they are present also at times for their behavioral health counseling or caseworker counseling. So that emotional stress or drain can accumulate in our staff. When the patient is familiar with our staff, they know how to find our staff and where to find our staff and their cell phone numbers. And that becomes a privacy issue and a boundary issue. Outside of work, they are also contacted, and at church they see them also, so they just come up to them and they don't think of keeping the boundaries, work and play, separate. Also, multifunctional staff have very little downtime. They are always running and doing something for the patients, and we have to be ready and be aware of burnout. So a few solutions that we have. Outreach to minority communities. Recently, we were able to find a good Burmese medical assistant and who is currently training at our clinic to help us with our work and eventually be a health navigator. But it was very difficult, even with advertising. We had to do one-on-one outreach to the community, to the church, and speaking with our existing Burmese staff to help us find the people. Continuing our advocacy and research to show the merits of enabling services so that we can justify why we need to provide these. Continuous monitoring of workloads to ensure that they are not overstressed. And we have a policy at work where you can schedule mental health days off. It's part of sick leave, but you can actually schedule it and go home and take a break. Last but not least, it is continued investment in training and practice. I speak about practice because our medical assistants or health navigators are actually trained to also provide pediatric vaccines to our patients under the direction of a doctor or a licensed nurse. But if they are doing so many other job functions, they don't get enough practice giving vaccines, and when they're out of practice, they may make errors or give the wrong vaccine from the wrong vaccine stock, because this is VFC stock and this is private stock that we can give separately. So one of the workaround solutions is to appoint two people per month to be assigned strictly to give all the pediatric vaccines. That way they get to practice a lot and keep their skills honed and not make too many errors. It's also good for me in the sense that if I do find a problem or an issue, I know last month who was giving vaccines, I can go back to talk to them. So that's it.